What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You gosh darn right you are. And you're also listening to Clancy Dubose, WWL Louisiana analyst. How you doing, Clancy, political analyst?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I don't know where we're going to start here. You want to start with the indictment and then we'll go to the poll?
Whatever you, wherever you lead me, sir, I'll follow.
Well, it's your world. I'm living in it, Clancy.
Well, the indictment, the poll is the most recent news, but let's talk briefly about the indictment. First, New Orleans sitting mayor to be indicted by the feds. History.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Not
in a way.
No, not really. No? In a way, it is. It's
given the shenanigans, I guess, is what I'm saying.
It's a sad day for New Orleans.
That I agree with.
Certainly sad for the mayor herself and her family and her supporters. But it's a sad day for the citizens because. You know, it's a mark against the city. You know, we have a reputation, a city and our state have a reputation nationwide for being, you know, a lot of political hijinks and tainted with corruption. And this just sort of confirms that reputation among people who want to look askance at New Orleans. But we'll get through this. We've gotten through worse. And, you know, in time, this indictment will play out. The mayor will have to make an appearance in court and enter a plea. And, you know, there's been speculation about whether there have been plea negotiations. Typically there are, but you never know how those things are going until they play out. So the city workers are hopefully, and I'm sure they are, they're dedicated. They're showing up, they're doing their jobs as best they can. And people are sort of, especially now, counting the days left till we have an election less than 2 months away and less than 4 months left, actually 5 months, I'm sorry, less than 5 months remaining in LaToya Cantrell's administration. The new mayor, whoever that may be, takes office on January 12th. So, you know, we've got... 4.5 months to go, roughly, and we'll get there.
And look, I'm glad you said that because, and I said this yesterday, I don't take any delight in this. I think it's an embarrassment for the city. I thought at one point when I was younger that I would be happy when Ray Nagin went to prison, but when he was indicted, it didn't make me happy. It made me embarrassed for the city as well. So it's really nothing to be happy about, I don't think.
Right, exactly.
Let's talk about, you're an attorney, compare and contrast, Nagin is a completely different thing than Nagin was charged with, right?
Right. Nagin was charged with corruption, you know, taking six figures worth of bribes and convicted on all counts, I think 20 or so counts. And he was sentenced to 10 years in prison. And I remember how angry people were. They were saying, that's not enough. And, you know, so I posed the question, anybody want to trade places? You know, and I don't mean to laugh, but I mean.
No, that's a long time in prison. With 5 years in prison, a long time. A year in prison is a long time.
Yeah, and in the federal system, you serve 85% minimum. That's with good time. You serve 85% of the sentence. So
I think, Clancy, there's a misconception there that federal prison is club fed and tennis and golf and this and that and the other. Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, I would suggest just think about a country club. If I were to lock you up at pick a country club and you couldn't leave whenever you want, would you be happy with that? Really? Probably not.
No. Especially if you were in a small cell and you know, the food is not good in prison. No. It's food, but it's
not. New Orleans country club.
Yeah, that's right.
Not that I've ever eaten there, but that's what I hear.
Right. No, I understand. Yeah. It's and you are told where to go, where to stand, when, you know, when you can sleep, when you can get out in the yard, and it's very regimented, and it's not a lifestyle that anybody really wants. So
let me ask you this,
but in this case, but to compare and contrast,
okay,
she's charged with basically obstruction of justice. Mostly, it's about a cover up. And yes, the underlying item that is covered up is a romantic affair, an alleged romantic affair between herself and her beau, alleged beau, former police officer Jeffrey Vappi, who was her bodyguard, her favorite bodyguard, I think, by all accounts. And it's not just the affair, though. What they covered up is the fact that he was billing the city and the citizens, the taxpayers of the city, for time that he did not spend actually on duty. And it's a conspiracy charge because the mayor helped him do that. He couldn't have gotten paid an alleged $70,000 minimum. That's just for the travel that he spent on, you know, personal stuff, not actually doing the job of protecting the mayor, you know, in close quarters, but arm's length, you know, not eating and drinking as alleged in the indictment.
And even entering the residence, right? Clancy,
yes,
didn't I read
exactly
that in the indictment?
Yes. That it is standard procedure that the Executive Protection Unit, the EPU, does not go into the mayor's residence unless there's an extraordinary need to, such as a perceived
threat or emergency or something. Yeah,
threat or emergency to the mayor's safety. So
I heard Newell yesterday say that, and Newell's an attorney, as are you, that generally speaking, if you're being asked to testify before a grand jury, the government already knows the answers to the questions, so it's best to tell the truth. Generally speaking,
exactly.
Good advice?
Very good advice. In fact, I'm reminded of something Mark Twain reportedly said. He said, "I always tell the truth. That way I don't have to remember anything."
That's true. It's true. It's absolutely true. Let me take a break, Clancy.
When
we come back, two questions. I want to talk about the poll. And also, I was with some attorney friends over the weekend, and a couple of them opined that maybe it was Mayor Cantrell's arrogance that got her indicted. And part of that includes lying to the grand jury allegedly or trying to cover it up. And we'll talk about that as well. And if she had not been so arrogant, then maybe they could have worked this out a little bit more friendly. Clancy Dubose, our guest, 821 Traffic Now, WWL. All right, 826, quickly back to Clancy Dubose, WWL, Louisiana political analyst. Clancy, real quick, the, you know, lawyer friends of mine saying that maybe her arrogance got her indicted, part of that being lying to the grand jury. If she had carried herself differently and handled this differently, you think she'd be in the trouble she's in?
Oh, definitely not. She was, you know, the indictment says that she was warned more than once by close associates, people looking out for her, people who cared about her, people in her administration, friends. And, you know, she's been known to double down, even triple down and quadruple down when she's told she's wrong. She's very hard-headed. She's been compared to Donald Trump in that regard. And, you know, the president's known to double down on some of his sort of less charitable or less appealing attributes. And his supporters love him for that. And I guess the mayor's diehard supporters love her for that.
But speaking of which,
it can get you into trouble.
Yeah, let me move on to the poll. And that goes to, we've talked about the results before. I haven't talked about them with you. I think the audience might be familiar with them. But I thought about the garbage contract in the quarter. I thought about Oliver Thomas and how Mayor Cantrell still does have some supporters. I don't know if it's 38% or what the numbers are like President Trump has.
It's not that high.
Okay, not that high. But I always thought the garbage contract thing would be a dividing line where it's either like she was a litmus test, whatever you want to call it. She was wrong on that or she was right, and that would separate the candidates. Somebody told me they went to a forum the other day and they were talking about the indictment. Well, it seems to me the only thing you say about the indictment is I'm not going to be an idiot, and that's the best I can promise you. But when it comes to the garbage contract, Oliver Thomas, not necessarily on the side of the other council members when it comes to this garbage contract. Is that a delineating point? And to that, does Oliver Thomas gain Cantrell's support by wading into that? Do they stay away from it? The rest of the time is yours. I want to hear you.
Well, the garbage contract is one important issue, a very important issue, and it's a citywide issue, even though it pertains only to the French Quarter, because the French Quarter is something that everybody in the city of New Orleans, even in Metro New Orleans, feels that they have a stake in it, because the French Quarter is it's been said before, it's become cliche, but it's very true. It's the crown jewel of New Orleans, and you know, it's where we all began. It's why we're here. It's right on the bend of the river. It's why Bienville said, here's where I'm going to build a city. And, you know, it's got history. It's got culture. It's got economic significance. And it's got an emotional appeal that tugs on our hearts. And you know, we love the French Quarter. We want to preserve it. We celebrate it with its own festival. So even though it's immediately impactful to those who live and work there, it's impactful to everyone. And yeah, I think it's a dividing line. I don't think it's necessarily going to be outside of the quarter and its immediate environs. I'm not sure that people are going to decide who to vote for based solely on that, but I think it is one factor.
I think it's linkage. I think if you don't come out against that, whomever the person is, and say that was wrong, then you're kind of siding with the Cantrell administration in a way, yourself to that and saying, you know, stay tuned, this might be more of what we have.
Well, Oliver could be siding just as equally, and maybe more so, he's siding with Troy Henry, mm-hmm. and because he knows Troy very well. Close friends. And so it's not so much siding with the mayor. It happens to be on the side of the mayor, but I think...
But that's how it's going to be perceived, is what I'm saying.
It could be perceived, yes. Yeah. There's a perception there, absolutely.
Thank you, Clancy.
Okay, man.
I hope you come back and talk sometime.
I would love to. We didn't get to the poll, but it's interesting, and I suggest people look at WWL, you know, TV and their website, and I've talked about it quite a bit.
Well, you know what?
There's more to come.
You can come back whenever you want. You can come back tomorrow if you want. Jordan will handle all that.
Whenever you want to handle me, I'm here, brother.
I'm ready for you, brah. Thank you, Clancy.
Okay, man. Take care.
All right. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Tyler Bridges. He profiled LaToya Cantrell in 2015, and none of us are the same people we were 10 years ago, especially in this case. We'll take a look at that right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 8:48, quickly, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Tyler Bridges, staff writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, author of several books. Let me go straight to this Politico article that he wrote. April 16th, 2025, she's butted heads with Mayor Mitch Landrieu, who once called her a loudmouth. She's since made amends, won a seat on the city council despite an embarrassing and potentially career-ending incident involving her husband, an attorney for the city, and a joint. And she was instrumental in saving her city from being razed and turned into park land after Hurricane Katrina submerged it in 7 feet of water. This, in a nutshell, is...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
LaToya Cantrell, and that was written by our guest, Tyler Bridges. How you doing, Tyler?
Good morning, Tommy.
Tyler's an accomplished author. You can go to tylerbridges.com. He wrote 4 books, maybe more. I don't know. But, Tyler, I got to tell you, my favorite is The Flight, A Father's War, A Son's Search, because my dad served in World War II, and for everybody that's a member of that generation, it's a good read.
Thanks, Tommy.
Let's talk about the LaToya Cantrell that you wrote about in 2015. I know you are a reporter, but yet you are able, I guess, factually to compare and contrast the LaToya Cantrell of 2015. First time I was exposed to her, a friend of mine that lives in Mid-City said, you know, you might want to keep an eye on her because she's doing a lot to help with Katrina recovery. And I think I was one of the first ones to put her on the air. So I take no responsibility for that. I'm just saying that's how far I go back with her. Tell me about your history with LaToya Cantrell and your thoughts about how she went from there to here.
Yeah, Tommy, in 2007, I was working for the Miami Herald. but I always looked for every opportunity I could to come back to New Orleans. So I convinced my editor to do a story on the recovery after Katrina 2 years later. And I was trying to figure out, well, where do I tell that story? And everybody said, well, you got to go to the Broadmoor neighborhood. That's the real shining star of the recovery of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, I learned that Broadmoor, the plans by some people had been to turn it into park space, that they thought there was no chance for a recovery in Broadmoor. But in fact, the neighbors got together, and there was a black woman named Latoya Cantrell who was spearheading that effort with Walter Isaacson's father. And you had blacks and whites working together, young and old, saving their neighborhood. And it was just everywhere I went, I heard about Latoya Cantrell, Latoya Cantrell, that she was a real dynamo, great organizer, and that she had the folks of Broadmoor united behind her and giving hope for a new life.
So that's the Latoya Cantrell that I met that had all of this dynamic energy and strength that was applied toward the forces of good. But that's not the same Latoya. But look, you're not the same Tyler Bridges, to be fair, that you were in 2015. I'm not the same Tommy Tucker I was in 2015. Everybody changes, but how would you chart the difference here?
Well, let me first say that, you know, then I wrote the piece in 2015 for Politico magazine, and I saw that same Latoya Cantrell that I saw in 2007 that you had seen when you first were putting her on
which
the
air.
Which
was around that time frame, Tyler, actually around 2007, I think it was.
Okay, yeah, and she was very connected to the neighborhood. She was very connected to her community, her constituents, focusing on a lot of little small things that can add up to making a difference in a neighborhood. Also feisty. You read the where she took on Mitch Landrieu, then the mayor, but you know, in 2015, she was on the city council by that point. And in the story I wrote, I forecast there's a possibility that she could be the next mayor, and just all the signs were positive. But things have changed, right?
You know, I see a quote here from Oliver Thomas in that article that says, she's one of the few people who ran for office who didn't have to say what she'd do in office. She already had a record of doing, and that is very, very true.
Absolutely. And then we get to the confounding question, Tommy, of what happened. And I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday about that, and who was making the argument that Latoya Cantrell had not changed. That, and this person was saying that when you remember the whole issue of her credit card usage and questions about that, and because I think there's a whole other school of thought, which is that it was after she was reelected that she really began losing touch with her community and neighbors. But it's clear that she did lose touch with who she was back in 2007 when I saw her in Broadmoor, and the Latoya Cantrell that I saw again in 2015, again, who was so connected to neighbors and communities. And she just, that's hard to see her today as being like that.
Latoya Cantrell of 2007 would never have checked out like Mayor Cantrell did after the start of the second term. Agreed?
Absolutely.
And the undying question is, what happened? Where did it all go so wrong? Tell me about, would you like to talk to her again and sit down and have a no BS conversation, although the word did come up during the interview in Politico, with her? And just, I know she won't do it now because she's under indictment. After all of this is over?
I would love to pose these same questions to her. I think these are questions, Tommy, that you have, that I have, that the community at large, not just the people in New Orleans. Of course, your listeners, many of them don't live in New Orleans, but it's important for all of us that New Orleans succeeds. And you got to have a good mayor. And I think there's just widespread dissatisfaction and disappointment and sadness the way things have gone under her. Whether she turns out to be found guilty or not, clearly the city is not heading in the right direction.
And look, I'm not one to judge, and I just wonder, I think it'd be, and I'm not in any way implying the mayor has psychological problems, that's not what I'm saying, but I think it would be interesting for either a sociologist or a behavioralist or whatever the title would be to look at this as a case study.
Yeah, and we can all play amateur psychologists. There are some people who say that She lost her head by falling in love with this guy. And, you know, there's a sad family story. Her husband died. She has a teenage daughter. Other people will say, no, she was corrupt all along. Other people say she just kind of got arrogant, as the way people can do in political office. One thing we can say is that things are not headed in the right direction in New Orleans for whatever reason under her.
Tyler, pleasure as always. Go to TylerBridges.com. You can't lose with anything he's written. And I think what's important that you just said is that she's got a teenage daughter, and that, you know, politically aside, these are real people that we're talking about in real people's lives. Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you.
You bet. 855, 5 till 9, traffic now, WWL.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.